have about 20 minutes left for our special guest from South Dakota, who is Clarence Rockboy. And I'd like to welcome Clarence to the program. Can you hear me, Clarence?
Yes, you can.
Great, super. So this is a chance for us to follow up on a discussion we had here on Native Solidarity News maybe almost 2 years ago with Rosalie Little Thunder.
Okay, yes. I know her, yes.
So you're involved in the Buffalo Commons Initiative and the... Can you talk a bit about... first of all, introduce yourself and then talk about some of the work you're doing around the Yellowstone Buffalo Troop and in general.
Well, we belong to... Our tribe here belongs to the ITB, ITBC. The Inter-Tribal Bison Co-op. And that's to bring back the buffalo and the spirituality of the buffalo to the native people of this land. In the beginning, there were more than 60 million buffalo roaming this country. But when the dominant society came here, they're trying to get rid of us, so they slaughtered a buffalo, thinking that they slaughtered a buffalo while they'd be able to get rid of us. But we're still here, and we're raising our buffalo, and we're trying to stop the wanton killing of buffalo in the Yellowstone National Park. The reason for this is I know that the ranchers don't like the buffalo because it's a meat that is healthier for the people. It does not have no cholesterol or fat. And the ranchers are afraid that if the buffalo is sold or raised for meat, well then they'll put the ranchers out of business. So that's my theory on buffalo for what they're doing and killing them. And so, as far as the spirituality of buffalo, that is very so. We've always revered the buffalo as a sacred animal to the native people, and for that reason, we're raising buffalo to bring back the spirituality of the buffalo to the people. So right now we have 58 buffalo. We just had our herd just had eight new calves this spring already. So we have a total of 62 buffalo now, the ancient Sioux tribe.
How many are there in the Yellowstone herd?
Oh, that's been... I think they say that last count was 300 and some buffalo.
So we're talking about a few hundred buffalo for
right.
60 million.
Right.
Now, this is... what are some of the First Nations to whom this is a sacred resource and a sacred part of the life? Is it, we're talking about the Lakota, but there must be a lot of other First Nations.
Yes.
Can you talk about which parts of what is now Canada and the United States were traditionally societies which depended on the buffalo?
True. That was our home, our clothing, and our food. We use the hides for teepees, jackets and clothing, moccasins, and then the meat to survive on, and then they would make pemmican out of that so that they'll have something to eat during the winter months. And that's the reason why we revere the buffalo as very sacred to us, because we call him our brother, and he's done a lot. The buffalo has done a lot to help the people survive, the First Nation people survive. But the dominant society is thinking that they might be able to get rid of us by killing off the buffalo, but we're still here.
Now, this is a situation...
And we're raising our buffalo now.
Yeah, it's changed. We're no longer talking about wild herds. Well, the Yellowstone herd is still a wild herd.
Yes,
but
that's the last wild herd.
And then you said you have about 62. Are there other
yes,
people that are raising?
All the other tribes. I think there's a total of 38 tribes in the United States that have a raising buffalo, from the northern plains down the southern plains. I think the Comanche have a large buffalo herd. That's down in the most southern Plains Indians in Oklahoma. Then from there up all the way to now North Dakota, we have buffalo herds that are given to us from the intertribal bison co-op. We submit a resolution to them, and then they give us buffalo, and then other tribes who have large buffalo herds will give us buffalo, and we'll trade for breeding stock for our bulls, for some of their cows, or some are older bulls for younger bulls. So that's what we're doing to bring back to buffalo the various tribes, the northern plains, and I don't know how far east they go, but I know we have Winnebago tribe in Wisconsin. They have buffalo herds.
Now, is the conflict as simple as one between non-native cattle ranchers and native buffalo raisers, or is there a division within some of the First Nations? And
no, there isn't. But see, they're saying that the buffalo herds carry a disease called brucellosis, but so far they have never found any buffalo which have brucellosis or elk herds. That's just their excuse to kill a buffalo, saying that brucellosis will affect their cattle, but this is not a proven fact.
What are people prepared to do to stop the killing of the buffalo?
Well, there are some people up there in Gardner, Montana, like Rosalie Little Thunder, and then there's some other people up there. Then also the Native American Wildlife Society, they have people that's working on the congressional people to try to stop that killing of buffalo. And this is our hope, that we can have Congress stop them and leave that herd alone up in Yellowstone. That's the last wild herd we have left.
What is the, how are you trying to do that? And what kind of actions can people take to support?
Write letters to their congressmen, their senators, and have them submit a bill to stop the wanton killing of buffalo in the Yellowstone National Park. So we're all trying that, and I don't know, hopefully that it will work. We can talk to some of our congressional leaders into sponsoring a bill to stop the wanton killing of our buffalo.
Do you see that if people are able to do this, that in the future the buffalo will gradually be able to take more of a place in the society?
Yes, they'll thrive, because they're a hardy animal. They'll always survive regardless of where they're at, because they can adapt to any wildlife. Now, the grass that they survive on, they're a hardy animal, so I think they'll survive if we can stop them from killing off the rest of the herd as is.
Now, do you have people, say, in your own community, being one of the communities that is working on the buffalo restoration, do you have people in your own community who remember a time, or whose parents would remember a time when the buffalo were, you know, before the buffalo had been killed off so much, and are the younger people taking interest in this?
Oh, yes, they are. I heard that we have a policy on it, that the children go down and they'll take a tour of our pasture where the herd is at. And they're really excited about seeing them, the little baby buffaloes and the big bulls. So they're all anxious for our tribe to get more buffalo and the other tribes to raise more buffalo, not only for our spiritual use or ceremonial use, but also we give it to the elders, the ones when we do, we will call out the herd, herd and we'll shoot a large buffalo and we'll cut that up and give it to the elders of our tribe so they can have meat which is healthy, more healthier than the beef industry can provide. So I think there's a lot of people helping each other. Oh boy, so then the children are really anxious to see the herd grow. They're always talking about our buffalo, they say. So I'm glad to see that.
We have just a few minutes left. I wanted to ask you if you have any, maybe to explain a little bit more to people who haven't lived in the plains or don't really, you know what it would be, what that would mean, really, to the culture and the spirituality. Do you have any stories about the place in the buffalo? What would you say, historical stories about buffalo or spiritual?
Well, yeah, we're right here on our reservation. This is a migration route for the buffalo, and right where the Fort Randall Dam is at, there's a large hill there. But millions of buffalo migrating from the northern plains further south to the breeding ground. There's so many buffalo come through here that they wore that hill down. There's a valley there. So we always take people out there show them that how many buffalo went through here during. Then we had white buffaloes back then. We had one here that some of our elders tell us that we're here on our reservation. And then also the buffalo is a lot of the people wish that they were like the buffalo, because when they run into trouble they don't run away. They'll stand their ground and meet the trouble. In the wintertime, the blizzard comes, the buffalo will stand there and look into the blizzard rather than turn away. So that for that reason, they teach us, the First Nation people, how to be. So not to ever skirt our troubles, but to look them straight in the eye and try to do what's right, just like the buffalo. And that's the spirituality of the buffalo and the bravery of the buffalo.
Now, I'd heard that there was a white buffalo who was born recently. Well, you mentioned that, but what does that mean to the people?
Well, that's a very sacred animal. And then as that buffalo is growing up, that buffalo will change from white to brown. As you go from white to yellow, brown, and then they get dark brown, representing the four sacred colors of the Sioux people, and also that represents the four ethnic groups of the world. So we look upon that as something being very sacred that these animals possess. Not only their fierceness, their bravery, but they can withstand just about anything. And the spirituality of that meaning is they must mean something, because they turn these four different colors before they become dark color, which is almost black. So we have the four colors: the white, which represents the Caucasian tribe, and the yellow, which represents the Asians. And then the brown, which represents the Indians, and then the First Nation people, and then the dark brown, which represents the African Americans. So it teaches that we should all learn how to get along with each other, so that the hoop may be mended again someday, that we can all get along together in that fashion. Because we were told that we're all equal, and there's none of us is any better than the rest of the nation. We're all one.
Is there any way that people can get in touch with you or the Buffalo Commons Initiative to help stop the killing of the buffalo in Yellowstone?
Yes, they can write, it's called Intertribal ITBC. They're headquartered in Rapid City, South Dakota. They have officers there. They have a president, vice president, secretary, treasurer, and they're trying to get the other tribes to all get together so that they can submit letters to the legislation to our senators and representatives in Washington, D.C. to stop the killing of buffalo. So I ask that maybe some of you out there can do it, just write to Intertribal Bison Co-op in Rapid City, South Dakota.
Is there a phone number that you have?
Oh, I don't have that in handy.
Okay.
But they're in the book. You can call Rapid City and they're in the book.
So that's ITBC in Rapid City.
Right.
Thanks, Clarence, for taking the time. Yeah? Hi, are you still there?
Yes.
Okay, no, I just wanted to say thank you very much
you're welcome.
For taking the time to talk with us. And
no, that means so much to us. I'm glad to do this.
Well, they're going
to
be...
And thank you for allowing me to speak a few words pertaining to our sacred brother, the buffalo. Thank you.
Thank you. That's Clarence Rockboy in South Dakota here on Native Solidarity News. A little bit jammed in toward the end of a show today with the unexpected death of Frank Nataway in Ganawaga, who we want to honor at the beginning of the program. That address is, if you wanted to follow up on the Buffalo Commons Initiative, is the Intertribal Bison Council in Rapid City, South Dakota, USA. And if you'd like more information, you can get in touch with the editorial crew of Native Solidarity News, and we'll tell you how to do that in a moment so you can scramble for some pen and paper, and in the meantime listen to a song that hopefully fits with what we've just been talking about with Clarence. This is Chelan, Resurrection of the Jaguar, here on Native Solidarity News. Back in a moment to wrap up.
Resurrection of the Jaguar, gonna take my throne. Before assuming the holy seal, I must first atone. I once led by sin before I knew the powers of the mind. Thoughts combined to blow up like landmines. Master of my destiny, slave to no system. In the morning when I rise, the only lie I know is wisdom. I harvest hip hop, you know the most up on the crop. I know the rains demand it, still I know that I will not. Like the food that feeds the needy, my sustenance is needy. The future take the fight because my nature isn't greedy. You see me? Express my anger through graffiti, tagging bricks in Manhattan, cause they stole it in the treaty. Revolution of the conscious mind, aided by the conscious rhyme. My conscious mind lets you know the conscious time. The government is doing battles with the mind, and in my mentor you will find that the wise will always shine.
Wake up early morning, give thanks and praise. Look up to the Father, to make my way. In this Babylon society, it's hard again. Live up for me, family, live up for me name. Wake up early morning, give thanks and praise. Look up to the Father, to make my way. In this Babylon society, it's hard again. Live up for me, family, live up for me name.
The conscious 1, 2, 3. 4-5% everlasting concepts, tropolis for no relent. Cause I will never quit as long as we are one. They were strong as a million trees from the last attack. Severed at the root so they could build a wall of Babylon. Fate remains strong, tribalism carries on. There's 2 types of people in this world that I can name. There's tribalists and scientists, the scientists for gain. The tribalist mentality is content with itself, while a scientific mindset is all about the wealth. A tribalist teacher will offer you knowledge, while a scientific preacher try to force you to call us. Force you to their world to be just like them. When they all look the same, they turn their back on their friend. A scientist should know the tribalist motivation, to know that they could never truly conquer such a nation.
Wake up early morning, give thanks and praise. Look up to the Father, to make my way. In this Babylon society, it's all a game. Live up for my family, live up for my name. Wake up early morning, give thanks and praise. Look up to the Father, to make my way. In this Babylon society, it's all a game. Live up for my family, live up for my name.
Assimilation, a concept brought by the devil. Toxic
through a metal. This is one nation, considered indivisible. The nation is divided into groups, it's quite visible. For some of these groups, it's liberty and justice. Still, for most tribes, these things are fictitious. A scientist is empty, stealing his culture from others. Stole cause he never asked my African brothers. In these present days, it's the same old sagas. Was there no red man with the first founding fathers? Wait a minute, I'll explain my conclusion. What they tried to copy was the Mohawk Constitution. To satisfy the great monetary need, they changed a few things so they could feed the greed. Then as a twist, a last act of defiance, day and night on knowledge of the Five Nations Alliance.
Wake up early morning, give thanks and praise. Look up to the Father to make my way. In this Babylon society, it's all a game. Live up for me family, live up for me name. Wake up early morning, give thanks and praise. Look up to the Father to make my way. In this Babylon society, it's all a game. Live up for me family, live up for me name.
Yeah, that's what we try and do with the show every week here on Native Solidarity News, bring you some sounds and ideas that you might not have a chance to hear in too many other places or in a kind of context or depth. At least that's what we try and do, and I'm very grateful to Kranz Rockboy for coming on the show live from South Dakota. Yeah, we get to call around the world here. It's not that much money, actually, considering what it brings to all our lives, and that goes for Chilan's music too, Montreal area hip-hop artist of Mayan descent with his amazing CD, and I hope you enjoy that too. If you'd like to get in touch with the editorial crew for Native Solidarity News, we have a phone number and a new email and website, so here we go. It is area code 514-486-0246, and the email is msn@tao.ca, and the website is tao.ca/squiggly thing, which is a tilde, nsn/home.html, and I would like to thank Dow Communications, which is a non-profit social justice group, which is also a web service provider. You can check out their website at tao.ca for the email and web access. Would also like to thank very much Tina from CKUT for helping us start recording our masters on Minidisc, and to all the crew, actually. And to Nick Foster, who is also a volunteer here at CKUT, who is helping us produce CDs now of the program.